Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. Down.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. I'm Dr. Jay Calvert. I am on today with my red wingiest co-host, Dr. Jason Berkley. Jason, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Jay?
I am ready for the season. I'm ready for some hockey.
We're getting there. It's coming, you know, quicker than you think.
Well, I'll tell you what happened over the weekend. I went to SoFi Stadium to watch the Rams beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which was pretty excellent. That stadium, by the way, is all that and a bag of chips. It is out of control cool. I can't even tell you.
Yeah, no, it looks fantastic. Actually, the Lions are playing here this year, but I have no interest in going after all the videos of fights that I saw and how basically fans are just assaulted and just accosted left and right if you're from an opposing team. It doesn't sound appealing. So I'm going to probably just stay home and watch my Lions lose on TV rather than spending money.
There were a lot of Buccaneer fans at this game, and they didn't seem to have any trouble. In fact, we sat next to two Buccaneer fans, and you know they cheered for their team. And you know I don't really have a horse in that race. Obviously, I'm going to be interested to see the Rams win because the Super Bowl is in the SoFi Stadium this year.
Right.
So it would be cool if the Rams won and got to the Super Bowl. That would be pretty cool.
And actually, I'm rooting for Matthew Stafford. He's dealt with nothing but heartache and disappointment in Detroit. And we always knew he was a great quarterback, and he's showing it right now for the rest of the country with an actual good team around him. So
he's great. I think if the Rams had had him the last time they were in the Super Bowl, they would have taken it. That guy's he's amazing.
So just as our producer Sean will tell you, if you're a Lions fan, 99% of the time you're born into this. This is like an inherited bad chromosomal disorder that you can't avoid. Okay.
Totally.
The Detroit Lions are without a doubt the worst franchise in all of sports. And by that, I mean, you're going from bowling to badminton to any potential franchise. The Detroit Lions are the worst franchise, and it starts with the ownership. And I know it's the hockey podcast, but I digress for a minute. And so what you do to cope with the disappointment the Lions will give you year in and year out is you pick a second team. And you have a good team that's your secondary team that you may not be emotionally attached to, but you still root for it because it's actually then becomes fun to watch professional football.
Got it.
And my secondary team has been the Rams. And we're going back now to the 70s. When
Youngblood,
the Youngbloods and Dan Pastorini and all the it was the Rams and the Raiders were my two teams that I liked as my secondary teams.
Good choices.
Yeah. And in the '70s and in the early '80s, they were pretty good. So anyway, making a long story short, the Rams are my official second team. It makes sense because I live in LA. And also my connection with Matthew Stafford because of being in Detroit for so long, I do have an affinity for him. So, you know, I'm rooting for the Rams.
Yeah. I think, you know, being in LA, you kind of gotta, you know, get behind the team. They're an incredible team. They really have a tremendous depth. And this McDonald guy is like out of control. I was very impressed. I thought that they definitely outplayed the Buccaneers. You know, it wasn't for lack of trying, you know, that, you know, watching Tom Brady operates pretty cool. But, you know, the Rams dominated. They played the game well and fans were into it. That SoFi Stadium was crazy. And so after we finished the Rams game, which was awesome, we were driving back and we realized the Ducks were having a exhibition match with the Sharks over at the Honda Center. So we have new seats. We got new season tickets over at the Honda Center just because the, you know, COVID like opened up some stuff on the glass and everything. So my wife was like, let's go check out our seats. So we went over. Now, this is the thing. You got to understand, we were just at SoFi Stadium. It is the most up-to-date, incredible sound, like the sound system, everything. Primo. It's perfect the way that they designed it. It's a work of art. It's beautiful. And here we go, and we roll up to the Honda Center and just... I don't know. I mean, maybe they just don't care. You know, they didn't do anything in the offseason to improve that team. You know, I'm impressed that Getzlaff wants to come back out and skate another round with that team. But it's just like, really? You know, I love our seats.
But here's the thing. Honda Center is a dump, but it's just a dump.
It's a dump.
Joe Louis Arena was a dump, but it had soul. It had something about it that was intangible, that although you had to go there and urinate at the trough next with sandwich between, you know, the guys between you and, other people bumping into you, you know, you waited in the long lines for that and whatever else there was going on there, it was unique and it was a lovable place that will never be recreated. Honda, I agree with you. Honda Center is a dump, and plus they have bad burritos there with purely cilantro on it. So I'm just not looking forward to. Yeah, the food's terrible.
Terrible, and yet our seats are really incredible. We're right by the face
off. Hockey.
I mean, it was great to see. And what I realized watching these guys, because they did have some of the big name guys out on the ice with the guys trying to make the team. I was watching Tomáš Hertl, who was out there for the San Jose Sharks. And what I realized is that the New York Rangers need Tomáš Hertl. I think he needs to get a trade. And he needs to, it's not just that the Rangers need him, but, the Penguins could use that guy. And so could Boston and so could Washington. That guy is a really strong player. And wasting another year on the Sharks is not going to be good for him. That's not where he belongs. I think that guy's a super high quality player, and it's just the Sharks are going to do nothing this year. I mean, the California team. I mean, the California teams are just.
They need to trade Carlson. They have to get something for him if they can, unload some of that salary, and try to see what they can do about rebuilding the team. That's the bottom line. What they're putting on the ice is not going to accomplish anything.
Bear with me for a minute. What if we took the Ducks, the Sharks, and the Kings and combine them all into one team and then let them see who makes the team out of those three teams and just, make it like the Santa Barbara, surfers. What do you think?
You'd have a pretty good defense, I suppose.
Yeah. I think we'd have a good defense. Would you have – who's going to score the goals?
Honestly, I haven't really paid much attention to those teams because I just don't like them. So I don't know many of the players on the teams right now.
Why would you?
Yeah, because I just don't like them.
It's painful.
But I think you would have a very competitive team there for sure. I think that, if San Jose has any intention of doing anything, they need to start and say, we need to blow this thing up and start anew.
I'm sure
Shahab, who's, I'm sure, listening somewhere or will be, is probably nodding in agreement.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just there's nothing doing. I mean, it's going to be a year of pain for the California hockey teams.
Jay, let me ask you a question. So let's say you're a GM for an NHL team. And with all the besides that, I'd get good seats, I'm sure. And you have a player on your team who is a top six forward, okay? And a guy that you're hoping can contribute to the longevity of your team and so forth. But has become extremely selfish, refuses to get himself vaccinated, and is the only player not vaccinated on the team. Will not be traveling to Canada because they won't allow them up there and be forfeiting about $500,000 in salary. and you just signed this guy, what do you do with him? Because the reason I'm saying that is because there's a player on the Red Wings, Tyler Bertuzzi, who refuses to get vaccinated. He has a newborn child on the way. He clearly has no clue about anything medical or is being given bad advice by somebody. And you're talking about exposing your teammates unnecessarily, their families. Right now, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar just said that any players in the NBA unvaccinated should be removed from the teams. So, and I agree with him. So you're talking about now in the NHL, what do you do with this guy? You can't trade him because no one else is going to deal with that because they're going to be left with the same problem. Do you just release the guy? Do you just tell the, hey, listen, you're not playing this year and just bench him and that's it indefinitely. And you're paying him money to do nothing. What do you do in this situation?
No, you release him. You say, you know, unfortunately that, you know, we respect your opinion. We respect your beliefs. However, in order to play on this team, you have to be vaccinated. That's all. It's very straightforward.
Why re-sign him in the spring or whatever it was for a bigger contract if you knew that this was coming or suspected it?
Well, you you think that
without a clause of some kind in it saying, you know, you will abide by the team's health recommendations, blah, 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 regarding COVID or any other future potential pandemic, that type, you know, or something language about that, you would think that would be in there.
I'm sure it is in there. And that's why I would just say, you know, we're not paying, you know, the Jimmy and Joey School of Finance, you know, screw you, we ain't paying. And that's
so
it.
Goodbye, release.
That's right.
Done.
Good luck.
That's it.
Yeah. You just, it's not a discussion. It's, you know, it's like, if you want to play on this team, you need to be vaccinated. You are not vaccinated. You do not play on this team. It is not we don't care that you don't want to be vaccinated. That's fine. You don't get to play hockey. It's not a big deal. I don't care that he doesn't want to be vaccinated. I don't care that anybody doesn't want to be vaccinated. I think it's a pandemic of ignorance. I get it. There's plenty of people don't understand things. You're not supposed to understand everything. Some people have to not understand. Some people need to.
But Jay, wait, they need to do their research.
That's right. Whatever. They do their research, however their way. I mean, I don't argue with people because you cannot argue with ignorance. You cannot argue with ignorance. It's like, why would you argue, if you're sitting there yelling and screaming at a three-year-old, whose fault is that? You know, that's right. That's not the three-year-old that's the issue. Right. It's you. So no, why are you arguing? Stop.
You're 100% right. There's been a big discussion amongst the Red Wing community online, and the vast majority are just basically saying release them, and that's it. Be done. If you can get something for them, great. If somebody wants them in a trade, fine. And actually, we wouldn't even be having this discussion if he wasn't a decent player. Frankly, if he was a lower tier player, he would have been gone, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, this is the way it is. You know, you cannot sit there and expect to change the mind of a child. You can't.
Right.
That is a childlike way of thinking. So it is just, you are the problem if you're the one trying to get them to see something. So you just say, you know what, in order to play on this team, this requires you to be vaccinated. We respect your choice to not be vaccinated. We respect your choice to do it how you want to do it. However, this is a private club, and one of the rules to play here is you have to have vaccination against COVID-19 virus. That's right. It.
Agreed.
That's it. It's over. Goodbye.
Yep.
Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
Yep. No, I'm in full agreement. And actually, I'd be willing to bet in private, one-on-one, you talk to some of the teammates on whatever team, whether it's the Red Wings or any other team with someone who's not vaccinated or refuses to. I'm willing to bet you're going to get 99% of those guys are going to say, I don't want him playing near me in the locker room. I don't want to be on the bench with him. I don't want to be on the ice with him. He's dangerous.
Yeah. Who wants this virus?
Right.
Exactly. I mean, you know, there's like four kids in San Diego now whose, you know, mom died. You know, she was pregnant, had a baby.
Right.
COVID-19. Yeah. Did you see this? The mom dies. Husband's with her, gets the virus. He dies. There's a newborn, and these three
have a name
kids.
For it. No name for the kid yet.
And that's it. Like, yeah. I mean, You got two dead parents and four kids because the virus wasn't real. Like, I'm sorry. Like that is just, you know,
I'm not arguing
with children.
No, you can't. But again, you're talking about being on a team where you're traveling on a plane, you're in hotels, you're eating dinner, other meals, you're practicing, you're, you know, close confines. And it's a majorly selfish way of approaching this that I really would be surprised if Yzerman keeps them or doesn't, release them. I'd be surprised if he doesn't.
One thing I will tell you is that Chris and I both had to show proof of vaccination to get into the Honda Center. Not just like, are you vaccinated? They said, let's see your vaccination cards. Boom.
What about a picture of your vaccination card?
That is legit also. But I have my card on me, so I showed it to him. And mine complete with the third booster, as a matter of fact.
Mine too.
Three Pfizers down, baby. I'd get a fourth. Tell me when. I'll do it.
I agree. I just got my flu shot this weekend because we had to get flu shots, as you know. But I don't know who's getting the flu anymore, actually. But all right, well, listen, I'm glad we're on the same page because, you know, this is a not the first or the last situation that's going to creep up with this. And, you know.
Jason, as we get started towards the season, who is the number one player in the NHL right now? Who's the number one most exciting top player? Who's the face of the NHL as the best player? Who is it?
You got to say Connor McDavid.
I agree. It's Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
I think he's got all the juice.
Why? Who else would you consider? I mean, although I think in the EA or the hockey video game, I think Patrick Kane got the same skill level number as Connor McDavid.
It's pretty close. I mean, I think Kane today is not Kane of, you know, 10 years ago, but, but Kane today is still excellent. He's top. I think Leon Draisaitl, I think Connor McDavid's, you know, his teammate is really incredible.
Agreed.
I think there's a couple of guys to watch this year. Just getting ready for the season. I think.
What do you do if a Connor McDavid refuses to get his vaccine?
Well, in order to play on this team, Mr. McDavid, you need to be vaccinated since you've opted not to do that. I'm sorry. You're going to have to find something else to do for the season. Good luck.
You still going to pay him?
No, you don't pay him.
You're releasing him.
You release him.
Wow.
I'm sorry. It's not optional.
Well, no, I mean, here's the thing. The reality is any other team's going to be left with the same dilemma. I just am wondering if a player of that league, of that caliber, as you mentioned him or brought him up, what would you do in that situation?
Listen, Tyler Bertuzzi is a McDavid or Draisaitl for the Red Wings. So
He's
an important part of the team.
He's an important part of the team, but he's not like...
No, and he's not like that level. But he's still like he's an offensive... He's part of that,
He's a gritty player. He's a solid player and definitely someone who the Wings are going to use for the future. But if he can't follow the team rules, I that's the end of it. So,
I think the Wings have a very long road ahead of them. The guy next to me actually at the SoFi Stadium was a Detroit Red Wings fan. And I talked to him a bit about, you know, what
the same guy that's a Buccaneers fan.
Yeah, he's a Buccaneers fan. He's a Tom Brady fan, not a Buccaneers fan. He's from Michigan.
Oh, he went to Michigan. All right,
So he was from Detroit. He's like, you know, I got to root for Brady because, you know, he's from my home state. And he's like, oh, so you're a Wings fan? He's like, absolutely. He's like, things aren't great. And I said, what do you think they're going to do? He's like, I think Stevie Y is going to get it together over the next 3 years and we're going to be somewhere. I said, well, you know, my co-host of the podcast shares your sentiments. I think he doesn't just share them, but he prays for those sentiments to be correct. Because I don't know how much more he can take of coming in last place and not getting the first draft pick.
It's depressing being a Detroit sports fan these days. Let's put it that way.
It's rough.
Yeah.
You got Michigan State.
I do.
You got Michigan State. That's pretty good.
Curb Your Enthusiasm coming back out in October.
I know. I'm excited. I was watching some reruns the other day, just literally rolling. It was so funny.
And I like the tagline, the world has changed, but he hasn't.
That's totally it.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, I think the season's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. It's going to be the full 82 games. Do you think there's a chance for a three-peat from the Tampa Bay Lightning?
I don't see why they couldn't. Who did they lose, really? They lost who did they lose in the expansion draft? It wasn't anything.
I can't even remember. It wasn't it
Tyler
wasn't,
Johnson, right?
That's right. It wasn't Killorn.
No, it wasn't Killorn. So, and not to scoff at Tyler Johnson, because I think he was an integral part of that team, but that's the team that's so deep that a guy like that goes away, another one steps right up.
Definitely.
So I don't see, barring a like, you know, either a COVID pandemic that goes to the team or something like a rash of weird injuries that just happens to just plague him. I don't see a reason why they couldn't.
Well, you know, they stepped up and took notes, and, you know, Corey Perry will be wearing a Bolt this year.
Yeah.
That's a great call.
All things being equal, no offense to Tyler Johnson, I'd rather have Corey Perry in there.
Totally. I mean, what a great replacement. I mean, you know, and I think Corey Perry gave them hell during the playoffs, you know, during the Stanley Cup final, you know,
they recognized that.
Yeah. And they took notes and said, you know, Perry's not done. Let's take him. Yeah. I think Perry upped his stock a lot with the way that he played in Montreal. You know, quite honestly, well, that kind of happens in Dallas, you know,
that happens when you get your nose sliced in half, you know, people take notice.
Yeah. Well, he really was injured. You know, he had a knee injury when he was with the Ducks that I think really plagued him. You know, you could see it was hurting him. And I think, you know, he rehabbed it and got himself up to snuff. By the time he got to Dallas, he made an impact and then obviously was an impact player for Montreal.
And right now the situation with Eichel has not been resolved yet, from what I understand, or at least what I've read.
Yeah. He's stripped of his captaincy though. Correct.
That too. So you got to think the guy wants out of Buffalo.
you think, I mean, come on.
Maybe his quote neck problem isn't so bad. He just wants to get out of Buffalo, you know, just by any means.
Totally. Ooh, my arm. I can't play anymore.
Right, exactly.
I think it's broken. Well, that could be a fracture.
thank you, Dr. Beeper.
That's right. Well, Spalding can play out his rounds.
Exactly. So, yeah, we'll have to see what happens with him. I wish him the best of luck. And I think wherever he goes, you know, you obviously worry about these guys' health first and foremost. You know, they're talking trade, this and that and the other thing, but no one's taking into consideration what his downtime is going to be. Here's the thing. If you think about this logically, so they finished playing May this year?
They finished in May.
They finished in May, right. Early May, whatever it was. So, which is typically time for the playoffs. That's like usually around the second time around of the playoffs, usually around the beginning of May. But he could have made the decision, had his surgery, been on the road to recovery, and possibly been back maybe after the first of the year, roughly or so. Now, it's now months and months later, he still hasn't done surgery. And, you know, they haven't made a decision yet on this. Gets stripped of his captaincy. I got to think that Pat's making phone calls, trying to figure something out to try to get him, you know, the next plane out of there.
Is Pat his agent?
I believe so.
Oh yeah. Okay. It's the famous Pat Brisson.
Famous Pat Brisson, our friend.
Absolutely. And you know? Incredible. It's funny too. I wound up texting. I didn't text Pat. It was a dinner in Nashville with Nick Cardilis, who is going to be on our podcast, who played for the Ducks. And Pat was Nick's agent when he played in the NHL. We'll hear his story about what went on for him and how things, you know, shook out for him in the NHL. But sure. Pat was his agent. He just said that Pat always took great care of him and is just a all-star in terms of, you know, he couldn't have a better agent.
As we would expect based on what we know of him.
So maybe Eichel needs to get a little of that Pat Brisson magic and wind up in the right spot. I don't know where that would be for him. I mean, anywhere else, I guess, would be good. I know that
but let's put it this way. Maybe, and I'm not saying this is a good thing, a nice way to go about it, but maybe not being a captain and having that pressure on himself is what he needs to kind of be able to settle down and blend in and be part of the team and not have that pressure. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could see that.
It's worked for other players.
You know, Eichel's very young.
Yeah.
You know, he's still, you know, on the front end of his career. So, but something's got to give, you know, it's like, you know, maybe this will be his year. Maybe he'll find the right spot.
Yeah.
Sabres did just write a big contract for Rasmus Dahlin, which they should.
I saw that.
That guy's legit. You know, I would definitely keep him around. You know, is this the year that the Oilers finally get it right? I mean, I don't know.
No.
That Jason's just going to give that a big no. No, it's not. I mean,
I don't think so. I mean, McDavid is going through what Stafford went through in a sense.
I know.
You know, it's like he's on a team. It's just maybe obviously the Oilers are not as bad as the Lions, so don't take it the wrong way, Oilers fans. But I the way the league is going and the way things go with the parity and everything else, I don't see Connor McDavid winning a cup in Edmonton. If he wants to be on a winning team or whatever else, he's going to have to go somewhere else and probably take less salary at some point in his career so he can enjoy the, you know, fruits of his labor after, like, you know, early May, because I don't see him. And I think I'm not alone in this regard. You know, his future in Edmonton, I don't believe is going to end up with him hoisting a cup.
Well, I'll tell you what, I see.
We've talked about it before.
No, I agree with you. And I see some other teams are really brewing some big moves. I think the Rangers are going to do something this year. You know, I think that Boston keeps stacking the cards in their favor, you know, that right. they're not going away anytime soon. They offloaded some stuff. I saw that Toronto picked up Andre Kasha and Nick Ritchie from Boston, which was a trade pack that went from the Ducks to Boston for, who would they get? Backus for, I think Backus retired. So, I think what you're going to be looking at now is, you know, some of these big teams that keep making big playoff runs are going to get in the game. And obviously it always comes down to that March trade deadline as right. to who's going to make all the right moves to make the cup run. But
well, this year it'll be February. It's usually February.
Right. That's yeah. Or 1st of March. I always think of it in that area, yeah. But yeah, so it'll be February this year. So the, I think the Tampa Bay Lightning do have another shot at it. I'm counting on Nathan MacKinnon to make the big run. I think that the Colorado Avalanche had everything they needed. Had Nazem Kadri not got himself kicked out for 10 games, they would have had a much better chance.
All right. So here we go. It's end of September, beginning of October. Who are you going on record now as picking to winning the Stanley Cup?
Tough call. I mean, I think that your Tampa Bay has a chance for a three-peat. I think that call is
my Tampa Bay.
Well, you called them 2 years in a row, and that's your call. That was your team. I'm going to reserve judgment until I see a couple things.
No,
I mean, right
judgment right now. Gun to head, got to pick a team.
Avalanche, it's coming. Okay. I think Cale Makar, Rantanen and MacKinnon they need somebody who's going to stay in the game for them. I suspect that they will trade Nazem Kadri. I suspect that he doesn't get a second chance at that playoff. I think he plays all year with them, and at the trade deadline they move him. Does she agree?
Yes, Maya agrees.
What do you say?
I'm going with Tampa. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's going to be tight between the Rangers and Tampa.
But the Rangers have made significant moves.
Yeah. But I just don't think that they're going to gel as a team just yet with just having made those moves. I think it's still Tampa Bay. I think they're the team to beat and they're still up on top. Now, remember also too, there are some situations where teams have played so much hockey and so many playoff games and so much in the postseason that they're just tired.
Yeah, they're worn out.
At a certain point, they just get worn down. And, you know, think about it. The season just ended, 2 months ago?
That's right.
2.5 months ago.
And they're on the ice now.
And they're right back at it. That's not much time after playing, you know, and going the distance like that. It's not as much time to recover as you think when you're normally used to having 4 months, June to, September, October, potentially. I don't know. I mean, that I don't know if he'll play the role or not, but I still think there's a team to beat.
Well, I agree with you. And that Ranger asterisk was kind of creeping into my brain too, because I've liked what they've been doing. And I think Gallant is just a great coach for them. I really didn't like the fact that they dumped their coach though, because things are going pretty well in New York. And so I'm not sure why the coaching change happened, but Gallant, he's pretty much the real deal, isn't he?
I agree. I wish he was on the wings, but I'm still surprised that Yzerman didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah, so, that's his guy.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, let's catch up next week. It's coming up to the season, and I appreciate you jumping on tonight, and maybe we'll get an in-person one pretty shortly.
Yeah, be nice.
I think it'd be great. All right, man. Well, this is the Dr. Hockey Podcast. Signing off with your prescription for the NHL.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.